God's covenant with us. Let it be a reality. So we have eyes that see deeper than ever before. We have ears that hear. The Spirit of Truth reveals to us the plan of our Father. Our hearts are perceiving more of our Savior operating through us to bring forth what He has purposed in every heart. That is from Isaiah 59, verse 20. He will come to Zion as a kinsman redeemer, to those of Jacob's tribes who repent of their rebellion, says Yahweh. And this is my covenant promise with them, says the Lord Yahweh. From now on, my Holy Spirit will rest on them. I stress the fact that He says, my Holy Spirit will rest on them, not in them, and not depart from them. And my prophetic word will fill their mouths and will not depart from them, nor from their children, nor from their descendants. From now on and forever, says Lord Yahweh. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Rise up in splendor and be radiant. Now, the word radiant is also released into a new way by the footnote. Break forth with the light of a new day to applying it and then to be the church. We see Jesus as the light that shines upon us, John 8, and the light of the church shining upon the nations, Matthew 5. You see, the God of heaven prepares His people. And sometimes we wonder why it's so difficult walking this particular walk. But you see, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, 40 years they were in unbelief or in compromise. For 40 years they could not accept what God had already prepared for them, because there was a war going on in their souls. Their mentality were slaves. We've always been slaves. We don't know anything else but slavery. So how do we act? How do we react? Certainly not in freedom, because it's a foreign language. It's a foreign feeling. So God's grace to them was to let them go home and bring their children into freedom. Why? Because the children had tasted freedom. They weren't locked in by the threats of supervisors and slave drivers and whippings and so on and so forth. So, you see, Yahweh's glory now streams from you, which is the very first verse. Look carefully, darkness blankets the earth, and thick clouds cover the nations. But Yahweh arises upon you and me, and the brightness of His glory appears over us or over you. Nations will be attracted to your radiant light. That's not there. They're still laughing at the church. But there's a day that's been prepared where nations will be attracted to your radiant light, and kings to the sunrise glory of your new day. That's a mouthful. Nations will be attracted to your radiant light. You see, again, the footnote, nations will walk by your light. If they are going to walk by our light, we need to be walking in the light, radiating that light all throughout our walking, our doing, our working, our entertainment, whatever, wherever we are. We're going to have an effect. It says, light is often seen as a biblical metaphor for understanding and revelation. See Ephesians 1:18. So again, light is often seen as a biblical metaphor for understanding and revelation. So you see, when they're looking at you and me, it's going to have an effect. And they will get nosy. And you want them to. Okay? Verse 4, lift up your eyes higher. Look all around you and believe, for your sons are returning from far away, and your daughters are being tenderly carried home. Watch as they all gather together, eager to come back to you. That is self-explanatory. Verse 5. Then you will see with understanding and be radiant. So the spirit of understanding is necessary to dwell in us in order for that next level of revelation. Your hearts will be thrilled and swell with joy. Why? Because there's an awakening inside of you of who you are. Not what you believed. You and I were brought up in slavery too. Slavery to rules and regulations that didn't make sense. And in a guilt complex prepared by religion. And I'm not ashamed to say that's where I was brought up.
Ditto.
Okay? And it brought guilt and condemnation. And some of it is still lagging there when I least expect it. It's like an old seed that tries to come back to life. And I see this thing growing and I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm free. But I don't feel free. My mentality, mind, will, and emotions, soul, are still influenced by some of it. My children, I pray, will be free from that because they are living a new day. Again, I'm going to repeat that one. Then you will see with understanding and be radiant. Now, the footnote for that is Isaiah. Wait a minute. Is Isaiah 60, verse 5, or as you understand, you will sparkle. Now, if I remember correctly, there's a lady that was teaching the other night about jewels, that we are a box of jewels. Our heart is a box of jewels to the Lord. So you will sparkle because those jewels will reflect the light. The Hebrew word for nahar can also be translated flow together. As you understand, you will flow together. As You understand, coming out of slavery, you will now flow together. What pulls you to get you into church? Is it because you're going to get criticized again? Or the fear of going straight to hell because you missed?
Faith.
Faith, yes. Believing that we will receive something to awaken us, to take us higher, is the whole goal of going forward. And when we go forward and we realize that we are sparkling and somebody's going to catch what we are doing just by being there, your light is definitely a reality. And your light and the fruits from that light will irritate some.
All.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, I love you too.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blurt that out. That came out.
David, David, it's recorded and it's okay.
Sorry.
You will irritate some. Many. Okay? So, that light is a reality that at some point will create jealousy. And when it does, an open door will be there for you to sparkle and maybe radiate some light on them. Okay? Your hearts will be thrilled and swell with joy. The fullness of the sea will flow to you. And the wealth of the nations will be transferred to you. Ah. Those camels definitely will bring in the finances that we need, so pay the rent and for other expenses and to give away. Caravans of camels will cover your land. Not just a few of them. Okay? Young camels loaded with goods from Midian and Ephah. All the wealthy merchants from Sheba will come, bearing gold and frankincense and singing the praises of Yahweh. Now, self-explanatory. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered to you, and the rams of Nabaoth will be yours as acceptable sacrifices on my altar. And I will adorn with my glorious temple. Who is his temple? We are. He was what? Adorn with more glory, my glorious temple. In other words, what you are now is nothing compared to what you're going to become. And I'm not talking about before your, you know, heavenly experience. I'm talking about now, while you're in the earth, you will have fruit. You will have radiation from God's glory shining forth out of you, touching those in the earth, not just after you're dead. Okay? Romans 2:7 was bouncing in my heart this morning as I was driving in. And I kept saying, you know, yeah, Lord. Seek first what?
Kingdom.
Yeah. And then life, not death. And the fullness of life and eternal life now. He's not interested in you going in through that experience of death. You know, well, you say, oh, wait a minute. Nobody's ever done that before. Oh, yes, they have. Elijah did not die. Why? Because he focused on life. He focused on the blood of the Lamb that had cleansed him. He understood it. He understood Jesus was the resurrection before he came out of the grave. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? If I so believe that I need to go through the grave, death will rule and reign, and he'll take you right down into that grave, and your dead body will lay there, and you'll see, oh my God, I should have believed for life. Yeah, you should have. Say ouch.
Ouch.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm just as guilty as you. I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to tell you that the accuser is so brassy. Okay? And he wants you to really submit to death in order to get rid of your problem. What's your problem? You! It's not hard to find. What's my problem? Me! The old me is my problem. And I need to trust God to change it because I can't. Lift one hand to the Lord. Say, I tried to change me.
I tried to change
me. I don't do well. And I admit it.
I need grace.
I need understanding. And the gifts of the Spirit to come alive in me and bring me to fullness of life. I am jealous of Elijah. I want to have life in me so strong and so powerful that as I walk by, those on the side will be delivered and set free. That's the future for me and you. Hallelujah.
Welcome to Peter's Club.
Verse 8. Who are these who soar like clouds, flying like doves into their portals? Yeah, they're there. Doves. Okay? See Songs of Solomon for more information. I'll leave that one alone. Okay? Indeed, the distant islands eagerly look for me, with their large ships leading the way. They are bringing Zion's children from afar. They come with offerings of silver and gold to honor the name of Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. 10. Zion's restoration. It's already started. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Even though I punish you in my anger, I will restore you in my gracious favor. See, everybody wants the punishment of God because then they're justified because they want to beat themselves up. Because they maybe didn't get exactly what they expected or wanted or desired. And there's a mixture involved. The enemy gets in there and accuses and accuses and accuses. And as he accuses, if you don't refute him, if you don't pull him down, you're going to suffer some of the consequences. And you know what? How many times do you and I need to go around the same mountain before we see God's grace carry us up and lift us up? Because it's so easy to feel sorry for ourselves. And we don't even realize it as self-pity. We don't. Okay? We realize something is wrong and we can't put our finger on it. And the only one that can really educate you is the spirit of understanding. And that spirit of understanding is available to each of us. Amen?
Amen.
I will restore you in my gracious favor and show you my tender compassion. Your gateway will always remain wide open around the clock to let in the procession of kings, bringing their constant streams of riches of the nations. The nations or kingdoms that refuse to serve you will perish and be utterly ruined. That's the future of the nations that are stubborn. Lebanon's glory will be yours. The cypress, fir, and the pine will come to you to beautify the site of your holy place. And I will glorify the place where I rest my feet. The descendants of your oppressors will come bowing low before you. And all who hated you will bow down at your feet. They will call you the beautiful city of Yahweh, gracious Zion, the Holy One of Israel. You see, when you and I look at what God has promised for these days ahead, if you keep your slave mentality, the maturity that he's looking to invest in us will not take place. Okay? He can't. Because again, if you think of yourself as a slave and you operate your daily life as a slave, you're going to expect the whip any moment.
Amen.
Not God. Okay? So you need to die to self and recognize that he's a lover, not the law. The law brings what? Death. It brings destruction. It brings discouragement. It brings all kinds of guilt feelings. Not a good place. Okay? So, does he know about your sin nature? Yeah, he does. St. Paul in Romans 7 says, I can't do what I want to do because there's another force using me and abusing me. It's called the sin nature that's still in me. Why is it not in Elijah? Because he dealt with it. He dealt with it. Now the guy who gets the double anointing, which is Elisha, ends up in the grave. He does twice the amount of miracles, but he didn't work on himself. Could he have come out of the grave? Yes, he could have. Because he didn't work on his soulish issues. How can I prove that? Because his bones were in the grave and they put another dead body on him and there was enough resurrection in him to put the dead body back to life. Get a clue. That should have been operating in Elisha. Oh, my goodness. I'm hitting a brick wall right now. Lift your hands to him. Say, Holy Spirit, let me understand.
Holy Spirit, let me understand.
God wants me to clean up my house.
He wants me to be submissive.
And I can't do the cleaning. The only product available that will work on my sin nature is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I plead that blood now to wash away the bad thinking, the slave mentality, and then the actions and the reactions that come from darkness. I was born in slavery. So did Moses. But then he was brought up in the courts of Pharaoh. He was with the occult. The occult taught him something. And who would God choose to make him the leader to pull out the slaves? If he would have been brought up in his mother and father's house, he would have still been a slave. I know that's a hard one to digest, but think about what I'm trying to tell you here.
If you and I were brought up in our parents' house under slavery, our mentality is loaded with that garbage. And I'm not blaming them. No, it's not a blame game. It's where they were. It's not where you want to remain. If I can wiggle that out of you by making you see it, you're going to cry, mercy, mercy, mercy. Don't stop, Lord. Please get this thing cleaned up. The blood of Jesus is the only product that will finish this cleansing that I need. And I know I'm preaching, but I'm doing it so that you will awaken, that you don't need to remain the way you are.
Amen.
And what you were yesterday is not tomorrow.
Amen.
Yeah. What I was yesterday is not my tomorrow. I'll never come out of that if I still believe the lies. And there are multiples of lies available. Now put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You are called the Comforter.
You are called the Comforter.
The Counselor. You can lift me up.
You can
set me free.
You can give me
understanding. And I need it. And I want it.
I want to come out of this slavery.
I've been declared. By faith, as a son and a daughter of God.
I've been adopted.
I used to be a slave.
I'm not anymore.
I used to be a sinner.
Saved by grace.
Now I'm a saint. Because the blood has done his work.
He changed my nature.
And I'm decreeing now
to my own heart,
be free
in Jesus' name.
And I speak grace,
grace,
and more grace
to get me to victory.
In Jesus' name, I pray.